Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Sunday morning, July the 24th, a gorgeous July 24th, 2011. And I am humbly grateful you chose to be with me as we take a look at some really good questions that came down the pike to me. And I want to thank those of you who take the time to write me. Come to the website at aspire.org and write me your questions. Offer to me what's on your mind. Maybe something, you know, I say or something I don't say will trigger something within you and help you. Maybe offer to you some insight for your own life. You know, people are very interesting because they have these assumptions about their life and what their life is supposed to be all about, and it never works out like that. Assuming life is very, very unkind and unmerciful to me and to yourself. And hopefully through these radio programs and my TV program, The Sound of One Hand Clapping, that's airing right now as we speak down in San Diego, I hope that in some way doors can open up for you, maybe a door of compassion, of love, of kindness, who knows? You never know, and that's the kind of purpose here of the whole deal. If you would like a little more information about what I do, please come to my website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. Okay, let's go to the first question from Rich down in San Diego. My mind is noisy. Well, whose isn't? Always telling me how bad and wrong I am. How do I know what is true? Rich. Rich, I loved your question. It is intelligent, it is forthright, and it is very, very typical of all of us, I think, on this planet. We all have those little mental urges that tell us, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Some people, because they have been shamed all of their life from parental units, have these constant messages being thrown at them about how bad, how wrong they are, how much is being missed in their life, how evil, whatever. Rich, listen to me and listen to me well. Most of our life, whether we want to admit it or not, is lived out of the unconscious mind. And everything that is in that unconscious mind of ours is constantly pouring out into our conscious mind, framing our psychology, framing what we can think and what we can't think, what is true and what is not true about us. And to be honest with you, Rich, none of the things that my mind and your mind can think have anything to do with the meaning of our life, who we are, what we are, or the way we are. It has zero effect upon us. Your life is based not in the contempt of your thinking, the fear of your mind, the shame, the guilt of it all. And just because you have these negative urgings, as it were, doesn't mean they're true. It just means that's the way you were programmed, and that's the way most people are programmed. If you want to get anything done, you shame the hell out of someone, and you'll get it done. Or you wrap them up in a ton of speculative fear, and you'll get it done. Get her done. And that's how it's done. It's how religion has made billion after billion after billion of dollars off of people who are very poor, shaming them to death, as it were. The Catholic Church has made billions off of this. And people keep going. They don't know why they're going. It's the energy, but that's another story for next year as we go into karma. Here's the deal, Rich. You say to me, my mind is noisy. Yes, it is. All minds are very noisy. It's telling me, you say, how bad and wrong I am. Well, that comes from, well, probably your parents, I would surmise, the atmosphere you grew up in. How do I know what is true, you ask? Now listen to me, Rich, and listen well. You're not going to do this. You're not going to believe me. You're not going to do any of this, so you're probably going to be hopelessly engaged in this whole thing most of your life, but here it is anyway. The truth is contained between the gap where one thought ends and another thought begins. It is in that gap, that pause, that space, that you find communion with life as love, as intrinsic love and goodness. The problem with most of us is we don't go there. Meditation is not some silly ritual or activity one does while stretching one's body in some yoga position. That isn't meditation. That could be a form of one, but it isn't the one I'm talking about. The one I am talking about is where you sit down and focus, where you deeply look and breathe into the pattern of your thinking and begin to see how a thought originates, where it comes from, its quality, and your willingness and your ability to find the gap and the pause between the thoughts that make it possible for you to see the reality of what that space is. You have to realize, Rich, before any of this really works well, how futile it is to entertain thinking all the time. How deeply painful it is. It is foolish and painful and deeply hurtful for you to live one day after another from one thought, like a monkey going from one vine to another vine, swinging mindlessly to nowhere. People generally, Rich, do not question their lives, nor do they look very deeply into them. For if you were to look into your minds, and most people, frankly, Rich, and you may be one of them, I don't know, have lost their capacity to look into their life beyond their thinking. Most people don't want to look into their life beyond their precious hatred, their self-hatred, their hatred for the wrong, their love for the right, whatever it is to them that makes them wrong and right and all that other crazy stuff that we do. As long as you and I live in that, as long as we are more interested in what we can get, own, and have than what we are, we are not going to find much meaning in this thing called life. None whatsoever. I can't tell you how foolish it is to live from one thought to another. Now, when I say that to you, I am sure you're thinking, well, what is he talking about? You see, until you've had the direct experience of one moment where you recognize you don't have to live like you are living, you are going to just suffer on and on and on with living as you have, with want, need, desire, ambition, and pride. And there is nothing I can do about that. I can point you in the right direction. I can say to you, work upon yourself by meditating, simply watching your breath, going in and out, and looking for that gap, that pause. You will find a tone inside you. If you resonate to that tone, if you can resonate to that tone, by just letting go of your mind and allowing your inner being and your body to be like a tuning fork, you will find that tone, that texture, taking you into another dynamic, a dynamic that is more than what we typically can think of. Typically, people are just thinking about what they want. They're typically thinking about what will save them, what will give them what they want. And it's all about want and more want and want and more want. And this goes on and on and on for many, many lifetimes until at one point in your life, you have to look at it and say, is this all there is? People live out of their unconscious because they don't want to live any other way. And I have found if you try to take away a person's, mind if you say to them, you don't have to live this way, you can live another way, a more beautiful way, they resent it. They don't believe it. They want to control it. And life is not about controlling. So, my dear Rich, you're going to have to get into a practice eventually. I doubt if you will, because I think you will find that you're mesmerized more by your thinking and the negativity of it and the noise of it, even though it's driving you crazy, because there's an up version of it, and I'll tell you what it is. You get to go gratify yourself, probably. And if you go and you gratify yourself, let's say with alcohol or pot or what most people do in this culture, some kind of drug, then you will find that there's some sort of automatic gratification for the noise in your mind, and you won't do anything about it. You have to come to some place inside you where you've had enough of the gratification and enough of the thought, where you want nothing with all of your heart. And if you ever come to that place, knock on my door. I might be able to be of great help to you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Oh, that mind of ours, all of us, I mean, it can go on and on and on and on if we're not careful. Next question, let's see. This comes from Linda in San Diego. What is love if not emotion? I listen to your radio programs and your TV programs, and I am confused. Linda. Linda, please, don't be confused. You asked me, what is love if not emotion? Emotions have nothing to do with love. They can help you in a certain way as a conduit for your intuition, and they're very valuable there. They can be a tremendous blessing when it comes to being able to perceive beyond the concepts of thought, but they are not love. Think of it as a hose delivering water. The hose is not the water. The hose is just the hose. It's a conduit for the water to come through. But the water itself is not the hose. Emotions can be very helpful when you are attuned beyond their gratification and what it is that they do for you, which is to tear you down. When love is more important to you than gratification, you come to a different place in your life with emotion. To find real love, one must be very quiet. Emotions are typically very noisy. They get noisy because that's the way they get your attention. They are unguided. They are undisciplined. They don't have any follow-through, as it were. None whatsoever. So what happens with emotion is that it just keeps building and building and building and building, like a wild train, just rambling with speed, devouring and destroying everything in its path that would be meaningful, that would be delicate, that would be love. Sometimes we come to a place where all of a sudden, we feel that love that is beyond our emotions. And then you will find your emotions getting all insecure and upset. And then the next thing you know, you're back into your emotions. There's nothing I can say here intellectually for you on the radio that would convince you of the truth that I just gave to you here on the radio. You're going to have to go through your life, many lives probably, like most of us, learning that emotions are not the way. Linda, I have watched men and women, I've watched myself, deal with emotion. Most of us deal with emotion in the worst possible way we can. We use them to accelerate self-righteous hatred. This is why people get passionate and they think, oh, I know the right thing. I know the wrong thing. I know the good thing. Why can't people just have common sense and do this thing and that thing? Because they can't. I've asked myself that question over and over and over again. Why can't these people just live in common sense. Because there's nothing common in the sensical way when I am emotion. When I become emotion, I lose everything that would give me balance. And when I've lost my balance, I become obsessive and I become compulsive. And then, because I see everyone else doing it, that's how I interpret it, like monkey mind, as I've talked about before, I just keep going and going and going and going. I never question any of it. I just want to keep it going. Keeping it going is what I define my life as being. Keeping my insanity going. So I am telling you, Linda, if you keep mistaking emotion for love, you're going to miss everything. You're going to miss the beauty of your life, the simplicity. Emotions make us extremely complicated. And because we are so complicated, we can't really understand the nature of our heart. Meditation is about a certain relationship with emotion and thinking. It is to understand the nature of the gap, the pause, the space, as I told Paul. If you keep thinking that your emotions, which generate your thinking, are the real feel of your life, you will never stop. And that's why most people don't do meditation very well, don't do their life very well, aren't very well indeed. You're going to have to go beyond all that. It takes practice. You can do it, though, Linda. But it will take practice and sacrifice on your part. And when I say those words, I really realize how few people care to do it. So I'm going to drop it. Please forgive me. Namaste. Oy. You know, I had an email this week, and I didn't. I should have probably put it on the air, and maybe I will later, about this guy writing me saying, what do you expect us all to do, sit in meditation while the world burns and goes to hell? We got to do something. And I just kind of sat there and twisted my head around, went, huh? You know, I guess people have this odd idea of meditation and all that. People aren't going to meditate, you know, it's just they're not going to do it unless they're fantasizing about something, and I don't want to get into that. The last question comes from Sam in San Diego. After watching my first program on The Sound of One Hand Clapping, and Sam, I want to thank you for your kind comments, and I am sure you will love the CDs I sent you. I want what makes me feel good. You don't make me feel good, yet I listen to you and watch you every week. Why, Sam? And you even ordered the CDs. I don't know. You know, Sam, maybe there's a part of you, like some people that watch and listen to this program and watch the TV program, that have a kinship with the truth of it all. They know deep inside, though my words are clumsy and awkward and don't make a lot of sense to most people, there's some truth in it that rings through, that they are akin to and that they vibrate to and they kind of know as well. So you listen to me, you watch me every week down in San Diego, listen to me on my radio program on my website at aspire.org, and you kind of get it. But your mind is in contrast to it in listening to what I am teaching and maybe even protests it again it, as it were. This is typical. I'm not here to make you feel good. If a person can make you feel good, then you should stay away from them, if you know what I mean. I mean, if you can control my emotions to make me feel this and that and up and down and right and wrong and good and bad, then there is something very wrong with me. Very wrong with me. And you need to take a very deep and solemn look at that. So I shouldn't be able to influence you at all. If you were true to the core of love, you would understand what I'm saying, and there would be no need for you to, quote-unquote, feel good for what I'm teaching here. You know, and you would feel oneness with me, as I would feel it with you. But you see, your mind is obstinate, and it probably is in a lot of conflict, typically. And you're hearing what I'm saying and weighing it against and comparing it against maybe what your philosophy of life is or what you think mine is. And I don't have a philosophy, but people make up the idea that I do. And then the next thing you know, everything that is loving is lost. And a lot of this happens over and over and over again to us very unconsciously. The reason you listen and watch me every week is because some part of you is not dead yet. Some part of you has not passed away. You are listening because some part of you recognizes not the truth of it all and all that, but the validity of love that lives within you. I call it the intrinsic. And it lives very deeply in all of us. It's buried under a lot of rubble. Disappointment, hurt, pain, sorrow. It's buried there under a lot of different things. But it still exists within you as a way of living your life. It still exists within you as the potential of your living. So this is what I say to you, Sam. Just listen to me. Don't argue, don't agree, and don't disagree. Listen to me as you would listen to the sound of running water, the sound of the wind flowing through the pine trees. Just listen. Want nothing with all of your heart, and just listen and watch how your emotions and your mind act and react to you not being anything other than simple. I think mind and emotions get very upset when we're not deliberate in following exactly what mind and emotion wants us to follow. But when the time comes and you are no longer listening to those things, the mind and emotion, you are no longer trying to be perfect, you are no longer trying to have things the way you believe they ought to be, you are no longer making your life what you thought your life should be or think it is. When you are done with all of that and you just want to watch and listen without thinking about right and wrong, good and bad, you'll come to a place of real clarity. This clarity, this place, this gap, this pause, this place within you is nothing but love. It is a ton of love just pouring into your life. And you will feel it. It's an energy. And all of a sudden, your arguments and your agreements and your disagreements will fall away. And whether or not I make you feel good or bad won't matter. You'll just listen. And then you'll be able to carry that into your life in many different ways and help others and help yourself. Because behind everyone's words and thoughts is love. Behind it all, it is all about love. Sam, I hope you enjoyed the CDs you ordered, and I hope that you find some insight into the sound of one hand clapping. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, something I might have the honor and the privilege of helping you with, please come to my website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. You can go to media. There's a little button there on the main page that says media, and if you pull it down, you will see a menu that says radio program. If you click on that, you can listen to old radio programs I've done, even future radio programs I'm going to be doing if you want to. And you can also email me from there, and I'd love to know what's on your pea picker. If you have something on your mind, I'd love to hear about it. My new series, The Sound of One Hand Clapping, it is a very special series. I did a very special commentary also on it, and if you're interested, come to the website at aspire.org, of course. If you go to media, again, you will see right there, it says bi-weekly video cast, commentary, podcast. They're all on the same subject. I try to offer you three different formats, written, oral, of course, and video. And they're on the subject of the sound of one hand clapping. What does that mean? Why is Greg talking about all this all the time? If you go to the website and go take a look at the commentaries under media, you will understand. There's also a chance to look at the commentaries. If you go on the front page, you'll see Siraj's commentaries. Commentary opening. I always make some kind of like, I don't know, opening video for you to kind of show you where I'm going to go for the week. And then my bi-weekly commentary is there, and my bi-weekly podcast and video cast. But it will really help you understand a little bit more about the sound of one hand clapping. Is it a philosophy? Is it a religion? No. It is a method. And if you get the CDs, The Sound of One Hand Clapping, they are available for a donation of $40. Parts of that are tax deductible, of course. We'll send you a receipt for your income tax. You can order them safely and securely via the website at aspire.org. Or if you're not comfortable with that, there's no reason not to be. But if you're not, give me a call. 831-622-8410. That's 831-622-8410. And you can order your four CD set with all eight discourses on the sound of one hand clapping. And I will send them promptly to you today. And I'm sitting by the phone right now, so you can give me a call. 831-622-8410. It'd be an honor to send it to you. I think you'll find these very, very unusual. Not many people are talking about such things in the West anymore. I am a spiritual dinosaur. I'm out of here. I'll be back on the air next Saturday and Sunday at 9:04. I hope you'll join me in my dinosaurhood. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.